You're listening to Aging in Alaska, a show created to explore the many aspects of aging and provide information, insight, guidance, and support to Alaska's elders and their families. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and I'm your host, Lisa Warzonik. As we all know, the holidays can be a stressful time of year, especially when caring for a loved one with dementia. So with us today to offer some insight and tips on how to make this holiday season less stressful and more enjoyable for everyone is Amanda Sandland. She's an education specialist with the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. Welcome, Amanda, and thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
So, Amanda, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with this organization.
Well, I have a master's degree in social work, and I started with the organization in 2000 in the care coordination department. And since that time, I've worked in the outreach, and now I'm in the education department.
Amanda, I know that this time of year can be stressful, and so you might be presenting on the topic of holidays and caregiving. What's the purpose of this topic?
Well, we want to provide some information to families about some of the concerns that can arise during the holidays. Might be a variety of different things that would cause things to change during the holidays, your activities and things like that. So we want to plan ahead for those things and be prepared.
And what do you see as some of the common stressors that families may experience?
Some of the common stressors will be change in activities, change in routine. And any change in routine can trigger confusion, maybe agitation for an individual with Alzheimer's disease. Another common concern would be large gatherings. We often want to go to holiday parties and large gatherings, and that can cause some upset sometimes and agitation depending on where the individual is in the stage of Alzheimer's.
And probably the holiday season itself with purchasing gifts, decorating, cooking can just add more stress for the caregiver.
Exactly. There's so much to do already on top of caring for a loved one.
What do you think are some of the things that caregivers can do, maybe some tips to decrease or alleviate some of these stresses?
Well, you know, we really need to pay special attention to the individual during this time, and we need to think about what stage they are in the disease process. That's really going to play a role in how they'll do with these different activities. They can be very positive activities to involve your loved one in, and so it's just important to pay attention to how the person is doing, looking for signs that they may become upset or agitated, and focusing on maintaining the routine as closely as possible.
You mentioned activities, and I know this isn't something that maybe we've discussed before, but we talk about activities sometimes and modifying or adapting them, especially maybe if they can't do the full activity. Do you think that some of these holiday activities could be modified or adapted to meet the needs based on the stage, like you mentioned?
100%. There's a lot of different things we can do. Some examples of that are instead of having your holiday dinner later in the evening, schedule it for 2 p.m. This can avoid an upset in the routine and avoid having the gathering during somebody's in the evening when somebody may be sundowning, experiencing symptoms of agitation due to the later evening. There's other things you can do, like involving an individual in the activities of the holidays, like shopping, for instance. The person may have difficulty balancing a checkbook or determining an appropriate gift for an individual, but may very much want to be involved in shopping and Christmas shopping. It's very fun for all of us and also stressful sometimes. But I think it's important to make a fun activity out of all of these different things that come up, the baking, the cooking, and modify it depending on, again, the stage of dementia that your loved one is in.
So like with cookie baking, it's not just the actual task of putting in the flour and the sugar, and they may not be able to measure and do things like that, but keeping them involved so that they feel still connected with the activity.
100%. 100%. That's very important.
You know, you mentioned also the stages, and there are varying levels or stages of Alzheimer's and related dementia. How would you have a caregiver gauge what level their loved one might be in?
You know, there are some very formal ways to do that, which would be to undergo an occupational therapy evaluation or maybe meet with a neuropsychologist and have somebody undergo an evaluation such as that. But there's also informal ways of doing that, studying the various stages of Alzheimer's disease, and you can certainly get that information at the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska website or talking with an education specialist. And then thinking about your loved one and some of the things that they do or don't do and applying those to the individual stages. We usually break it down into three stages, early, moderate, and late. And that can really affect how somebody may or may not participate in an activity during the holidays.
Great. So this is a very personal, very special time of year for many people, and they have individualized traditions. And of course, we'd want to include loved ones in their traditions and festivities. Could you give them a few more tips on maybe how to include them?
Sure. I think, you know, some of the things we've already talked about, which is, you know, Christmas shopping, baking, and those may be for individuals in the earlier stages of the disease. Not to say that somebody in the moderate or later stages couldn't participate in the cooking or baking, but some of the other things you may want to do is prepare an activity in advance that your loved one may be able to successfully engage in, such as reminiscence, scrapbooking, you know, maybe getting a photo album out and ready, and then when, you know, during the gathering or during the dinner, you know, have that person kind of look through that album. Other things you can do are be sure that there's always somebody, assigned person, to sort of watch over your loved one during a big holiday gathering.
Someone to look for signs of distress if it's too much.
Yeah, and be there to maybe help them get a break. Take them into another room, have some nice soft music playing, a place where they can be calm and relaxed for a little bit, and then maybe they can rejoin the activity. You know, other things would be, you know, as I said, modifying the time, but you may also need to modify the number of people that come to the gathering. You may want to go to your loved one's place of residence and have it instead of have it at a family member or friend's house. Other things that you can do are plan ahead for activities that you know usually your loved one enjoys. And so make sure that they're available, whether it's playing cards or, you know, whatever activity they do on a normal day, and make sure that's available.
You mentioned reminiscence, and I know everyone's got a favorite Christmas story. Or maybe a few Christmas stories. And so maybe one activity could be engaging that person in telling some of those stories.
Very much so. I think that's a great point. And I think often even individuals in the later stages of this disease still have long-term memories intact. And that can be a very joyful way to engage the person and to bring them some joy during the holidays. You know, tell me about when you were a little girl. What was your favorite thing during Christmas? Or what was your favorite recipe that your mom always made? Or, you know, I found that people, no matter who we are, love talking about food and cooking and recipes. And that's always a great topic to bring up because there are so many special things we have during the holidays that we don't have otherwise. So I think that's a great activity to engage in.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Aging in Alaska, and we're talking with Amanda Sandlin regarding some tips on holiday travel and individuals with dementia. We'll be right back.
Forgetting to buy bread is normal. Forgetting how the toaster works is not. Are you concerned about a loved one's forgetfulness? The Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska is here to help, offering memory screenings, confidential consultations, classes, trainings, support groups, and more. Call today 1-800-478-1080 or find out more at alzalaska.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Aging in Alaska, and today we're meeting with Amanda Sandlin, Education Specialist at the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, regarding some tips for around this holiday season and caring for your loved one. Thanks for coming, Amanda. And a little while back, you'd mentioned modifying or adapting your holiday activities. Time was a matter, the actual activity or task was an issue. You mentioned a term called sundowning, though, that maybe some of our listeners would like to know a little bit more about. Can you describe what sundowning is?
Sure. Sundowning is typically when an individual, after a long day, maybe a long day of confusion, different activities, in the evening becomes more agitated. And it seems to happen later in the evening where the person may pace, may become restless, may become more easily upset. It's called sundowning because it typically occurs late in the evening. So we want the evening time to be a peaceful and a calm time of the day for the person. So when thinking about the holidays, of course, we want to avoid anything that happens during those hours. So late dinners, going out, even caroling or something like that during those times are not advised.
So when we plan activities, really is important to the person with a dementia.
Definitely. It is. Routine is key for successful caregiving.
And I can see large gatherings at dinner time when we typically have them could be overstimulating, overwhelming. So maybe smaller gatherings earlier in the day and then, you know, storytelling around the normal dinner time to keep things peaceful.
Definitely. Definitely.
Great. So one of the things that people do around the holiday, too, is we travel. Some people may travel within Alaska for family gatherings. They may travel outside of Alaska, or they have family traveling in. But traveling with somebody who has an Alzheimer's related dementia may be difficult, but certainly still possible. So my first question would be, what are some tips that we'd have for people who are considering traveling with their loved one?
Well, you know, again, as you said, Lisa, it's certainly possible. It can be very successful and enjoyable, especially in the earlier stages of the disease. So some tips for an individual in the earlier, maybe more middle or moderate stage of the disease would be to have an itinerary, have something for the person to have in their purse that explains what you're doing. So that way, when they may forget due to the short-term memory loss, they have a reminder. And that sometimes works in the earlier stages. Maybe later, the visual cue might not work. So an itinerary, I think, is important. Definitely having identification, whether it's a safe return bracelet, which is a bracelet that is available for somebody to wear that has a phone number you can call and thereby contact their relative or their loved one, ID, a list of who they're with, cell phone number, address, things like that on their person, maybe in a couple spots, is a very important thing to do, no matter what the stage of dementia. Don't allow the individual to, especially in a train station or in an airport, be alone. That's very important. You want to be sure that you're with them. And you may need to plan ahead for this because, sometimes if you're traveling with someone of a different gender, you may need to use the restroom. So what are you going to do when, you need to use the restroom and your loved one is left alone in an airport? They could easily think, I need to go too, or I need to go to the store, and then get lost. So we really have to plan ahead for these moments. We also have to think about agitation. What will happen if your loved one becomes upset or agitated? We have to remember somebody with dementia, as it progresses, is living in a constant state of confusion. So how can we minimize confusion?
It sounds like planning ahead is a good tip. My grandmother, who had Alzheimer's dementia, I remember we took her to Texas for my brother's wedding, and I'd like to share that story, but ask you, one thing my mother did was she planned the trip to travel during the day, and it's really hard sometimes here in Alaska. We get a lot of those red-eye flights, those 1 a.m. flights, which normally people are sleeping. So when you mentioned routine earlier, what about planning of the actual flight time and trips?
That's very important, and that's a great point, is that traveling during the day is much better than disrupting their sleep routine. And mornings are better than evenings. So if at all possible, try to travel during the day, whether it's a car ride, an airplane travel, or train travel. Try to keep their routine the same. So if this person likes to eat breakfast at 8, you know, get up at 6 and eat at 8 and lunch at noon. Keep that the same. Make sure that their routine is as close to the same as possible during those traveling trips.
You know, when we took my grandmother, who was probably early to middle stages of Alzheimer's, we took her to Texas for my brother's wedding. And one issue we came across is the time change. Because when it's time to go to bed in Texas, people are still sometimes having dinner in Alaska because of the 3-hour time change. And one thing we noticed is that if we traveled with her and gave her like a day to get adjusted a little bit, that seemed to help. But then later on, she would be up in the middle of the night because it's not time to actually be in bed, you know, in Alaska. So that's something to consider too, I think, when we travel as time changes and have the number of family members or friends or just flexibility to handle any of those encounters, like you mentioned, if they become agitated or upset.
Yeah, that's very important.
I bet one of the questions that some of our listeners might be thinking right now, though, is when do we simply stop traveling? Because there are people who like to travel, and maybe that's been their lifelong history, but at some point in this disease, certain activities do stop. Certain things aren't safe anymore. What tips can we give them to consider if they think maybe travel time is done?
One thing to consider is whether your loved one is ambulatory. A lot of transferring, you know, helping your loved one from car to plane to, you know, can be difficult on them. It can be painful. And, you know, it can be really tiring and exhausting. So some things to consider are, you know, does your loved one, are they able to ambulate? Are they able to walk, or are they in a wheelchair? Another thing to consider would be, are they incontinent? Will there be somewhere to change them if they have an accident? I think that's a very important consideration. And another is, how confused are they? If they're very confused, then they may not enjoy the trip. It may sound really good, but, you know, it may not be fun for them. It may be more fun for them to stay back where they're comfortable, they have their routine, and for the caregiver to travel and enjoy that time. But I think in the late stages of Alzheimer's disease, that's when traveling is really not possible anymore, because it's just more, unless it's a medical, you know, emergency, it has to happen. I think we should really avoid it. But I do recommend always asking your doctor. You know, especially in the moderate stages on, you definitely want to check with your doctor, because not only is it, you know, different triggers that can cause behavioral symptoms to manifest, there's medications to consider, there's other diseases at play, other illnesses we may have at play. So we definitely want to check with our doctor and get their advice.
You get some feedback or a second opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Amanda, are there any resources out there if maybe a caregiver wants to travel but their loved one needs to be at home? If there's not family or friends to stay with them, are there resources out there that would allow the caregiver to still travel?
You know, there are, and it certainly depends on what community in which you reside. Unfortunately, in some of our communities, we have less resources than in others, but there are respite programs available, which is there to give a caregiver break, which is basically the definition of respite. There are assisted living homes, and I've talked to families who've, you know, placed their loved one in an assisted living home for a couple of weeks just so that they could go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly recommend self-care, and that's important. So we want, you know, caregivers deserve a break and need a break, and they, you know, it's important to make sure your loved one is well cared for during that time. So respite, in-home care is an option. Assisted living homes are an option. Of course, if you have a big family, it's always great if you can get somebody
family
to come
and
up
friends.
Get somebody to come up and help with that. So,
well, and you mentioned a great topic. During the holidays, things are stressful. They're caring for loved ones, and we've talked about how to maybe make them more enjoyable. But how can a caregiver practice some self-care during the holiday season?
It's a very, very important thing to do, and a caregiver really needs to be able to ask for help. And I think that's something that's difficult for a lot of us. And we really need to think about, who can we ask? What family member, friend, professional out there can help us with a break, whether it's just a couple of hours to go do our shopping, or whether it's to go to a movie and relax, or just to have a peaceful night to ourselves. We really need to be able to ask for help, and we need to prioritize ourselves. So often when we're caregiving, we don't place ourselves at high priority because we have our loved one and they have needs and we need to meet those. But we have to be healthy or else we won't be able to successfully meet those. So it's really benefiting our loved one as well.
I heard a statistic that caregivers who are caring for a loved one with dementia are more likely or twice as likely to have health issues of their own. So that concept of healthy caregiving is really important.
It's very, very important. And we so often put off our own doctor's appointments because there's nobody to stay with our loved one. There's nobody to, you know, be there. And so we just put it off and put it off. And eventually small things become big things. So we can't put that off.
And sometimes we fall into no one can care for them like I do. So I don't want to give that up. But a couple of hours is really pretty, A, beneficial to the caregiver, but not so harmful to their loved one.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's talk about a few fun things around the holidays. And one of the fun things, of course, is food. Another fun thing would be gifts. And I know that sometimes families struggle with what to get a loved one, especially as they progress through the disease process. They may not recognize knitting anymore if they enjoyed doing that, or they may not like certain TV shows or even recognize clothing anymore. But what are some items that maybe we can suggest as people are progressing if people still want to buy or purchase gifts for their loved one?
Well, there's a variety of things we can do that, and really I think the focus of the gift needs to be something that brings comfort. So we need to really know our loved one and think about what they really enjoyed. And, you know, pictures, memory boxes with items from their childhood that may bring back really special memories are great gifts. You can put a box together with old photos and old mementos and then sit there and spend that time with them looking at those items. The person may be able to talk about it and tell you a story, or they may not. But that doesn't deny the benefit of providing that those old memories and trying to trigger some of that reminiscence for them. Other ideas would be comfortable clothing, something that is easy for them to get on and off if they're bedridden or non-ambulatory, lap quilts, stuffed animals. Actually, for somebody in the later stages, can be very comforting. We all need to have something to hug, and stuffed animals are fantastic for that. Dolls. Especially for women, they really love dolls in the later stages, something to take care of. So those are great. And also I recommend music. If the person was very religious, a religious CD, hymns that they like to listen to, or if they loved Elvis, Elvis music, whatever it was that they really loved, music is powerful. And I think, the most important gift of all is your time, is your presence with them, holding their hand and just spending that quality time.
Well, I think if there's anybody out there like me, you have a box of pictures and mementos that has not been organized. And of course, the holiday time, given that it could be a good gift, would be a great time to maybe organize some of that and provide that as a gift, maybe with a few names and dates and stuff. And then, like you said, the gift of time to sit and reminisce with them.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, Amanda, what's on your wish list this year?
You know, I just hope that, all the families that we work with are able to find joy. I think that's my biggest wish, is that all that we encounter every day, that we can just find some peace and some joy with one another and really see the positive and see the blessings that we do have. No matter what our situation, there's something about it that we can find a blessing in. And I just hope that families can do that, can find blessing, can find peace, and spend that time together and just enjoy one another. That's more important than any material item, is time together with our families. So,
and I think we have to remember too, if the turkey falls on the floor and the dog eats it, that's a Christmas story that someone will be telling. And so sometimes just going with the flow, which is also something we talk a lot about with dementia care, you got to be flexible. And you just sometimes have to go with the flow.
Definitely. Find humor in every scenario and just let those things go.
Yeah.
Let those things go.
Well, Amanda, I really appreciate your time today. These were some great tips. Any last tip that you can think to give our listeners for the holiday season?
Just take a deep breath. It's okay if all the lights don't get hung and all the ornaments aren't up. The most important thing is that you're enjoying time with each other, because that time is precious. So just take a deep breath and let some of those things go. You know, it's okay if it all doesn't get done. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves. So my advice to myself and everyone out there is just enjoy the moments with our family.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you tune in next time as we continue to explore the many aspects of aging here at home in Alaska. Thank you for joining us for this program, and we hope that you all have a happy holiday.
Nunam yuiqo yaqilid, nunamunat khami, agayutan qingat kutunga, Jesus Sacristusak, Jesus Sacristusak. Nunam yui anich parlid, atu kachir luteng, atan ruchtan anich duchteng, nan rachka pechluku, nan rachka pechluku, nan rach, nan rachka pechluku. Nunam yui atu parlid, Nunang eriuch luteng, tamas kurmang atanachteng. Nan rachka pechluku, nan rachka pechluku, nan rachka pechluku.